Okay, we're beginning here in the middle of Kuf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, 9 lines down. Itmar, Katan Meimatai Mocher B'Nechzei Aviv. A Katan, a youngster, when is he permitted to transact in his father's property? Rova Amar Rav Nachman Ben Shmonasir Shana, talking about someone who is 18 years of age. Rav Huna Bar Chinin Amar Rav Nachman B'Ben Esrim Shana. We're speaking about someone who hits the age of 20 years old. So it's clear here, both from the responses that we have from the Amoraim, as well as the Gemaras that came before, and the nature of the Gemara's question, that we're not speaking about the normal threshold of Gadol and Katan that is found throughout Shas, which is 13 years old for a boy and 12 years old for a girl. Over here, we're trying to figure out when a youngster is considered to be savvy enough to deal or transact in the properties of his father, or in these Karkaot. This number of 18 or 20 is not necessarily unique to this, but has broader scope. If you look in the Rambam brings the age of 20 in a number of areas. One of them is the mechira, the ability to sell or transact in karkaot. Another one was with regards to marriage. At what age is an individual ready for marriage, or is the appropriate age for marriage? He also brings it with regards to Talmud Torah, that it's a threshold by which a person matures to the point that their Talmud Torah at the age of 20, you have to make decisions at that point. From the Rambam and from the Gemara, it's clear here that we are trying to assess a certain amount of savviness or worldly understanding of the individual. We don't want to know whether they're of age or not of age. We want to know if they're aware enough then to make decisions that are long-lasting, binding, and have ramifications. That includes marriage. That includes the sales of property. And so the Gemara here is searching for that threshold of age. Now, as to what is being spoken about here in the Gemara, we will deal with it in more detail later on in the daf, but just for an appetizer here, the Bali HaTosafot already bring from the Rashbam on Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, where the Rashbam makes it clear that what is being spoken about here is simply familial property. It's property that he inherited from his father, and that's the only one bound by these rules over here. If the individual purchased properties or came into these properties through a different Yerusha or through a gift, then they have the right to transact in these properties even below these ages. And that is seconded by the Rif. On the other hand, the Bali Tosafot bring from the Rabbeinu Tam that it's irrespective, that it doesn't matter whether these are inherited properties or not inherited properties. Any property they are precluded from transacting in because of the fact that they're just not savvy enough to be transacting or engaging in transactions with regards to property. And the reasons we'll see later on the daf is that they can be easily swayed to sell the karka, and then they'll end up getting cheated out of their possessions. So the Chachamim interceded to protect them, and say that even though technically from the age of 12 or 13, their transactions should be binding, nevertheless, we postpone that, allowing them to mature, allowing them to become more savvy and worldly, in order that these transactions are done in a better manner. Now, for the Rashbam and the Rif, it's clear here that the focus is on the familial property. That means that there are really two issues here. One issue is the savviness and the ability to understand the value of property. But the second one is that we're dealing with familial property, which has sentimental value, which maybe as a youngster they won't understand, but as they get older, they understand the value of that sentimental side to the property, which might also preclude someone from selling it, even though it's a good sale. On the other hand, for the Rabbeinu Tam, it's a broader perspective on the individual. We just don't consider them worthy or appropriately selling of properties, and therefore it matters not whether it's familial property or other properties. Whatever the properties are, you can't engage in those transactions. Then we have the two positions here. We have the position of Rav Amar Nachman, which is that they have to be a minimum age of 18. On the other hand, we have Rav Huna Bar Chinin Amar Rav Nachman, that has to be 20 years of age. The position of Rava is very controversial and leads to a number of Girsaot changes within the Gemara and other Gemaras in Shas. I will deal with them as we get to them, but I'll just note for you here, the fact that Rava here says 18, on the next Amud, it seems that he says that 20 is the threshold. And then in the Gemara Gittin, he also seems to say that the threshold is 20. So one solution to the problem is to flip the positions over here. And that is what the Rabbeinu Gershom has in his Girsa. It says, Rava Amar Rav Nachman ben Chaf Shana. He says that he's 20 years old. Rav Huna Amar ben Yulchet Shana. And Rav Huna has the position of 18. So according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, when you flip the position, that eases a lot of the problems that we have here. Because then it can be reconciled with Rova in Gittin as well as Rova in the second half of today's daf. So even though the Bali Tosafot note that if you have that Girsa, they were aware of that alternate Girsa, it does solve a lot of the problems. They're not happy with it because then you have to eliminate the next line in the Gemara, which you can see is already in parentheses because many did eliminate it, which is Adarava la beferush itmar ela michlala itmar. Rava's statement was not explicit, but rather implicit. And over here, we don't have any information about what that is. This wording will appear three times in today's daf, and the Rishonim argue as to where it is appropriate or what it references to. Part of that problem derives from Rava's position. So the Baal Tosafot reject that view of the Rabbeinu Gershom. They solve part of the problem by saying that in the other sugyot, possibly the Girsa should be Rabba and not Rava. And in that way, they might be able to separate between where Rava thinks it is 18 and Rabba who thinks it is 20. Still, nevertheless, they have to deal with the latter part of today's daf, where it seems that Rava has that threshold of 20, and we'll deal with it once we get there. So now the Gemara says, Meitiv Rabbi Zeira. Zeira asks, Maseh ben Bnei Brak, this is the incident that we had yesterday in the Gemara, the incident in Bnei Brak, Be'achad Shemachar B'nichzei Aviv, Umeit, a person who transacted in his father's property and then passed away. Vav Bnei Mishchah B'ir Arul, Omar Katanaya B'shat Mita, that the individual was still a youngster, and he didn't have permission to transact in the familial property. Ubal v'shalu with Rabbi Akiva, so then they came and queried of Rabbi Akiva what to do. Ma'u lebotko, can we check out whether he had simanim? Amalayan, i'atem rashayim lenavlo. First of all, you have no right to denigrate, embarrass, disregard the kavod mate, and to go check him. Vote, and even if you did check him, it doesn't mean that it's going to be efficacious, because simanim asum lishtanot achar mita. Simanim easily change after mita. And over here, just because you find evidence of the fact that he's a katan now, doesn't mean that he wasn't a gadol before. And as we saw in the Baal Tosafot yesterday, that's an easier direction that death causes the hairs to fall out, or it looks like a shuma now, even though they were hairs before. So that direction, it's much easier to understand what the problem of ishtanot achar mita is. Now the Gemara says, Bishlam alaman damar ben shmanasar shana, according to one who says that the threshold is 18, rova, hainu de ka'ato ve'amrile ma'u lebodko. That's why they're asking, should we check out and see if he has simanim? Ela I amart mi ben esrim, if you're talking about the case here where he's already of 20 years of age, kibadkule mahavi. When they check him out, why should that have any impact on the situation? Vaha etnan. Don't we have the Mishnah with regards to a yavam and him being a saris? Ben esrim, shloi vishte sarot. He's 20 years old and he has yet to reach puberty. Yaviu ra'aya, the relatives of the woman who is the yivama, bring proof to this fact, Shu ben Esrim, that he's 20 years of age, v'hu asaris, and if he is a saris, lo choleitz v'lo miyabim, he is knocked out of the parsha of Yibum completely. That's because the requirements of a Yavam are that he can be making zer la'achiv, that he can be making shem achiv. He has to be able to have the ability to reproduce in order to step into his brother's shoes and then have offspring with this woman. Here he's a saris, which means that he's impotent. And therefore, there's no reason for him to perform Yibum because he can't accomplish what the whole purpose of Yibum is. But what you see from here is that once you reach the age of 20, the Shtei Sarot are no longer relevant. We already have a categorization that changes at the age of 20, irrespective of the Shtei Sarot. And our understanding would be then that that is the end point. If he doesn't get Shtei Sarot then, we're not going to expect him afterwards. And that means that he's automatically a Gadol at 20. And there's no reason to check whether he has Shtei Sarot or he doesn't have Shtei Sarot. So that's the question brought from that case that we have yesterday. The Baal Tosafot at first note that it seems that the Gemara here is favoring the interpretation that the property was in the hand of the Lukuchot. And it is the Bnei Mishpacha that are trying to extract it from the Lukuchot. He proves that from the language that is used here, as well as the difficulty of explaining the Gemara if you think the other way around. And so therefore, the Baal Tosafot say that this is the Gemara's conclusion to that sugya before, that it must be that it is the Lukuchot that are in possession of the property, and the Bnei Mishpacha are trying to take it away from them. On the other hand, the Rivam brings afterwards that he doesn't think that's necessarily true. He thinks that you could explain it according to both versions of the Gemara before in Bnei Brak, whether it's that the Lukuchot are in possession of it, the Bnei Mishpacha are trying to take it, or the other way around, where the Bnei Mishpacha have it, and the Lukuchot are trying to take it away from them. He just explains that it's a case where the kuchot show up with Edim with his age. So then, after they show up with Edim with his age, the family makes a second claim, which is, okay, he might be over the age of 18, but he doesn't have Shtei Sarot. That second claim is only relevant when you're speaking about the threshold of 18, not when you're speaking about the threshold of 20. Therefore, the Rivam says that it can be explained according to either way. Just the Gemara favored the opinion that it was in the hands of the kuchot taken and the Bnei Mishpacha are trying to extract it, because that's what the Gemara concluded before. Not to say that this sugya can only go according to that one mandamar, but rather it favors that mandamar because that's what it concluded before. but it could fit in, even according to the other Mandamar, who says that the assets are in the possession of the Bein Mishpacha already. So now the Gemara says that favors saying that 18 is the threshold and not 20, because the test of Shtei Sarot is only relevant for an 18-year-old. It's not relevant for a 20-year-old. And if you think 20-year-old is the threshold, then why are they checking for Simanim anymore? It is irrelevant. Amar Rab Shmuel by Rav Yitzhak Amar Rav. The negative implications of not having Shtei Sarot are not sufficient to deem the individual to be a Saris. Just because he hit the threshold of 20 and doesn't have Shtei Sarot does not make him into a Saris. You need the positive attributes of being a Saris, which are listed in the Gemara in Yevamot about certain character traits, physical aspects of the individual, which would make us believe that he is a Saris. Without those, he's not deemed to be a Saris. And Omarova, Rova says, Dekanami, you can be medayek that out of the statement of the Mishnah, because it says, Diktani v'hu Saris. It says in the active form that he is a Saris, Shmamina. When it lists out what his qualifications are, it says, Ben Esrim Shana, Shalo Hevi Shtei Sa'arot, Yavi'u Raya Shu Ben Esrim, V'hu Saris. They have to bring proof not only to the fact that he's 20, but they also have to bring proof to actively that he is a Saris. We don't just automatically assume he is a Saris because he doesn't have Shtei Sa'arot, but rather there must be an active proof of the fact that he is a Saris. So that's how they'll answer the question, was even for the 20-year-old, there is this threshold of the Shtei Sarot is still meaningful, because he's not showing or displaying any simanim of being a Saris. He's not showing simanim of being a Gadol. So they want to check the Shtei Sarot to see if that is still has implications, because he will not be deemed a Saris, or he will not be deemed a Gadol at 20 just because he doesn't have Shtei Sarot. 20 is not the threshold to make you into a Gadol no matter what. It is also a threshold that still requires Shtei Sarot. We just think that by the time you get to 20 and you don't have Shtei Sarot, the probabilities are that you won't see Shtei Sarot after that, or we'll already have indications that you are a Saris. But if those are lacking, just because you're over 20 doesn't automatically make you into a Gadol without the Shtei Sarot. And therefore there was a reason in the case in Bnei Brak to check whether he had Shtei Sarot or he didn't have Shtei Sarot. And now the Gemara asks the same question asked in Yevamot, V'chilo no dolo simanei Saris agkama. If he never displays positive attributes of being a Saris, he doesn't show Shtei Sarot, but he also doesn't show the attributes of being a Saris. So he's in this limbo land. Ad kama, how long does he have to go like that before we deem him a Gadol, and we still assign him to be a Katan? Tani Rabbi Chiya ad rov shnotav. Until he has passed the majority of his years, the Rashbam quotes over here from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hinei shnotenu behem shivim shana, that the average lifespan of the individual is 70, and therefore the rov would be 36. The Rambam says it's 35 plus, but anything over that halfway point to 70, then we would assume that the person's in a gadol, even though he's not displaying either Shtei Sarot or the positive simanim of being a Saris, he will be deemed to be a gadol at that point in time, even though we don't have any positive affirmation of it being a Saris. So therefore, according to this, you would have thresholds depending on which opinion. If you're the opinion of 18, the threshold was 18 is for Shtei Sarot. If you don't have Shtei Sarot, by the time you get to 18, you're still deemed to be a Katan. When you get to the age of 20, the lack of Shtei Sarot also still deems you a Katan, but it does put you into this category or possibility that you are a Saris. But then you have to display those positive attributes of being a Saris. Without those, we won't deem you a Saris, and then you'll be considered or classified as a Katan till you reach the age of 36. And so therefore, both for the threshold of 18 and 20, the relevance of Shtei Sarot is still there until you reach the age of 36, or until you have demonstrated or displayed positive signs of being a Saris. So now we eliminated that question on the position that says that 20 years old is the threshold. Kiato kamei de Rabbi Chiya. When individuals came before Rabbi Chiya, sounds like here that they're the age of 20, and they have yet to display Shtei Sarot, I kachush, if the child was weak, amalahu livrei. You should heal him, you should make him healthy, or you should fatten him up. The Avre, if he was already healthy and well endowed, Amalahu the Kachosh, that he should skinny up and he should lose some weight. Dahane Simani, because sometimes when it comes to Simanim, Zimnim de Atu Mahmat Kihushuta, sometimes they come, meaning that puberty is reached because of the weakness of the body. Bizimnim de Atu Mahmat Biryuta, and sometimes they come because the person is healthy. So you have to change the physical state of the individual in order to test whether that is what's causing the problem over here. So therefore, if he is weak Or if he is skinny, we're going to fatten him up and strengthen him. And if he is strong and fat, we're going to skinny him up to see if that is what's causing the problem. And that will precipitate the ability for the pubic hairs to emerge. The girsa that we have here is the girsa of the Rabbeinu Tam. You can see that in the Balei Tosafot that say that the change is a cause for the hairs to emerge. He says that there was an alternate girsa that said the other way around, that sometimes the weakness caused the hair to fall out, and sometimes the fatness causes the hairs to fall out. He says that doesn't make sense, because they are coming to Rabbi Chiya for a child who has yet to display the simanim. So then why is he telling them something that causes the hairs to fall out? And so therefore they believe, like the girsa in our Gemara here, that it is telling them to do this because that will positively engender the growth of the pubic hairs. And then from the explanation of the Rashbam, it seems that he had the alternate girsa that the Balei Tosafot reject, and he says that the weakness causing the hairs to fall out might be the reason we haven't seen pubic hairs until now. It's not that the weakness will then cause them to go out in the future, but rather that was the cause in the past as to why they did not see pubic hairs. And if we change that state, maybe they will see them. And similarly the other way around, if they were strong or they were fat, maybe that was the cause for the hairs to fall out in the past, and if we change their physical state, maybe that will sustain the pubic hairs. And so this is just an aside of Rabbi Chiya giving advice as to when you hit that threshold of 20, don't automatically assume that means that they're not going to see these shtei se'arot. Rather, you have to work with the physical state of the individual to see if you can engender the growth of these pubic hairs. Now, ibai luhu. The question is asked, toch zman kelifnei zman or kelachar zman? When it comes to the 20th year according to Rav Huna Bar Chinina, or it comes to the 18th year according to Rava, do we mean that into their 18th year or into their 20th year is already considered to be over the threshold? Or do they need to complete their 20th year and complete the 18th year in order to get over that threshold? And so that's the nature of the Gemara's question. Toch zman, that 20th year or that 18th year, kilifnei zman, as if it's before the threshold. Okalacha zman, or is that already past the threshold? Rav Amar Rav Nachman, toch zman, kilifnei zman. So Rav Amar Rav Nachman, who's also the view in the previous Gemara that is 18 years old, says that toch zman, if you're not over the full year of 18, then it has a din like beforehand, meaning that the threshold is the completion of the full 18 years. Rava bar Rav Shila Amar Rav Nachman, so you have an alternate opinion in the name of Rav Nachman, toch zman kilachar zman, that if it is within the 18th year, it's considered as if you've crossed over the threshold. Just in terms of a person reaching their 18th birthday, when they reach their 18th birthday, they've actually lived 18 years in one day. And that is because you start out your first year of life as year zero. So therefore, when you reach the age of one, that is a completion of an entire year, plus the birthday day itself is one day beyond the year that you've already lived. And so therefore, that's called one year in one day. So according to the way that Rova Amar Rav Nachman is learning, is that in order for you to be over the threshold, you have to reach 18 years in one day, or you have to reach 20 years in one day, according to the other opinion. But basically, you have to hit your 18th birthday or your 20th birthday. According to Rova by Rav Shila Amar Rav Nachman, then you only have to hit your 17th birthday or 19th birthday, because that will then enter you into the 18th year or into the 20th year. And that would be sufficient. That's the machloket. Now, about this, we have the statement, Bahad Rova, this opinion of Rova in the name of Nachman, La b'feirush itmar, ela michlola itmar, is not said explicitly, but rather it was an inference or implicit. Da'o toch zman, there was an individual who was within the threshold of time. Hazel zaven nichse, he went ahead and he transacted in the property. Va'ata l'kamei de Rova, and he came before Rova to adjudicate the case. Amalo lo asav lo klum. Whatever he did is irrelevant. We're going to unwind the transaction that he engaged in. So this is someone, according to Rova, if we keep consistent with the Shita To, this was someone between the age of 17 and 18 that went ahead and transacted in the property. Rova says the transaction is invalid. So those that are looking, manda chozo savar mishum de toch zman kelifnei zman, they concluded the reason is because Rova believes the threshold is 18 years. And he's below the age of 18 years. Even though he's in his 18th year, that still wasn't enough. Below he, and that's not the real reason. Hotam shtututa yeterta chazabei. Rova saw in this individual that he really didn't have the capacity to deal or transact in properties. And therefore he unwound it because he felt that he was not acting in an appropriate manner. Davaka mishachrer lehu la'avde. He was freeing us slaves. Now, freeing up slaves is something that maybe you do if you have a relationship or you feel like you owe them something. But here he inherited the slaves and he's just freeing the slaves. That's someone doing something willy-nilly without any monetary benefit. It is not considered to be something that is savvy or something that we would expect from someone who understood what they were doing. And therefore, Rova believed that this individual didn't have the capacity to transact. And therefore, he unwound the transaction because he considered him to be a shote, at least with regards to the issues of selling and buying property. And this would seemingly be differentiated from a shote, as someone who is completely not of sound mind. That individual is patur min mitzvot, and of course, their transactions are not considered to be transactions. But this is a specific definition of shote with regards to transactions, which is the person is demonstrating an inability to understand what the meaning of value money is or how to transact. And that lack of understanding makes it clear that the transactions they're engaging in should not be upheld. Although there is an opinion of the Rosh that this was just a preliminary test to see if later on he really is a shote gamur. And therefore this is not the end game. If we find out later on that he is of sound mind, then the transaction would be binding. But the majority of the Rishonim believe over here that this is its own test with regards to the savviness of the individual, and he displayed a lack of savviness, and that's why Rova said the transaction doesn't go through. And that's why they inferred from that Rova said Toksman Kilifnezman, but the Gemara then says that that's not necessarily the right conclusion to come to, and therefore we would have to conclude that either Rova said it explicitly, because the inference from this case was an inappropriate inference. So now we have another case, which is Shalach le Gidel Bar Menashe de Rova. Gidel Bar Menashe sends to Rova, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, please teach us, Rebbe. Tinoket bat 14 shana v'yom echad is completed a full 14 years. Yoda b'tiv masau matan, she understands, is savvy, and knows how to transact and be engaged in transactions, understands values. Mau, what is the din if such a girl engages in a transaction? Shalach le im yodat b'tiv masau matan, mekcha mekach, umemkara memkar. If she understands and is savvy enough to be transacting, then clearly her transactions are good transactions. Lishlach le tinok, why is he asking about a girl and not a boy? Maisashaya kachaya, that was the incident that took place. Lishlach le tinoket bat 12 shana v'yom echad, then why is he also asking about a girl who's 14 years old? Why doesn't he ask about a girl who's 12 years old? Maisashaya kachaya, that was the incident, and that was the way it took place. The question he's asking is the relevant question, which is, this is a girl who's 14 years old. But the truth is that it would apply to even a girl at 12 years old, and it would equally apply to a boy who's completed 13 years old. Now, of course, everybody agrees here that we're talking about the individuals that reach that age and also have shtei sarot, so they're considered to be gdolim, the gabei unshim, and the gabei other aspects of halacha. They have a din of gdolim. And so what comes out of this statement, this psak of Rava, it seems to indicate that the threshold of 18 and 20 are not relevant, because we have another test over here that says that even at the age of 14, they can transact. And so the Rishbam, in explaining this, says that the difference here than the cases before has to do with the savviness of the individual. What we're saying is, if the individual is savvy, once they've reached 12 or 13 years old, have shtei sarot, if they are savvy enough, then we will let them transact and their transactions will stand. On the other hand, if they are not savvy, then we have the thresholds of 18 and 20 years old. And the Rishbam, in explaining this Gemara, rejects an alternate girsa that was here, which was Mekcha Mekach Umemkara Memkar Bimitaltalin. There was an alternative girsa trying to deal with the issue of how this squares what we've been saying until now, is to say that this references to Mitaltalin and not to Karkaot. And in that way, you solve the problem. When it comes to metaltolin, then there's a lower threshold of age, because they are cheaper items, they are easier to discern their value, and therefore we will allow them to transact even from a younger age. On the other hand, when it comes to karka, the threshold will be 18 and 20 years old. So based on that girsa, that would be the way to solve the steer over here. The Rishbam rejects that girsa because we know from the Mishnah that when it comes to pi'utot, when it comes to youngsters, even if they're 6 or 7 years old, that we allow them mekchan mekach, that their transactions are considered to be transactions. And that is an institution of the chachamim that allowed them to transact in mitaltalim in order to kedei chayav, in order to survive. If we don't allow them to transact in mitaltalim, they're not going to be able to raise cash or capital in order to live. We have to give them a means for making a parnosa to support themselves, and so therefore we have to allow them to transact in something, and that is mitaltalim. But what the Rishbam shows from that is that the threshold has nothing to do with 12 or 13, and has nothing to do with Tiv Masa Umatan. how well-versed or how savvy they are in transacting, because we're even allowing 6 and 7-year-olds to do it. So how savvy could it be a 6 or 7-year-old be? We just want them to be aware of what they're doing, understand what they're doing, and that is sufficient. And therefore, the Rashbam rejects the girsa over here, and the Rashbam creates really 3 tiers or categories of individuals who can transact. And that is that if you are over the age of 12 or 13, depending on if it's a girl or a boy, and they have shtei tzarot, if they know betiv masa umatan, meaning the way that the Rashbam describes it over here, is that they are sharp and they have be'inan chachma yeterah limkor b'nechzei aviv. It requires a higher threshold of not even just knowing what to do or being savvy, but being really sharp and astute in the business transactions. If that is the case, then they have permission to transact even in properties prior to that threshold of 18 or 20 years old. On the other hand, if the person doesn't display any acute awareness or savviness with regards to selling and buying, then the threshold of 18 and 20 kicks in order to say that their transactions become transactions after that age, as long as they don't display that they are shotei mamash, as long as they don't display the fact that they are incapable or not understanding what they are doing, like the case of Rova before, where he said that the person was demonstrating a lack of understanding of value, and therefore their transactions were unwound because of that fact. That's how the Rashbam deals with this situation and says that there are all these 3 different categories. There's a category of between coming of age until 18 or 20, depending which opinion you have. And that threshold, you can only have transactions if you are super sharp. Above 18 and 20, as long as you're a normal person, your transactions will bind. If you are a shote, if you are unaware or incapable, then even over the age of 18 and 20, we will be suspect of your transactions, and the Beit Din will decide that they're invalid because people are taking advantage of these individuals. The Baalei Tosafot do qualify this in one way and say that what the Gemara says over here, that mekcha mekach or memkara memkar, the only part that's relevant is the memkara memkar, is the ability to sell. In terms of purchasing properties or buying things, we will allow them to do that at any time, and that's not a chiddush. The chiddush is that she was allowed to sell. On the other hand, the Rimi Gash disagrees with that, and he says that it's a bilateral takana, which just means that the individual cannot sell their properties and also cannot purchase properties for the same reason. That lack of savviness works in both directions, and therefore the permission to mekcha mekach or memkra memkar over here is relevant, because otherwise they'd be precluded from either side of the transaction. That's why over here the Gemara specifically mentions both sides, that that is what's permitted now because of this unusual savviness of this individual. On the other hand, many Rishonim, and you can see a version of this in the Rabbeinu Gershom, who says that the question that was posed here by Rav Gidol Bar Menashia to Rova was, Imrachra b'merkarkagei shela, if she transacted on her own properties, velo b'shelavia, but not her father's property, mahu. And the question, or the nature of the question, now differentiates it from what we've been discussing before. Unlike the Rashbam, who says that the differentiation is between the nature of the savviness, or how sharp the individual is, the other Rishonim, the Rif, the Rabbeinu Gershom, and many others, say that there's a difference in the cases over here. The restriction that we saw before, and this goes against the Rabbeinu Tam, but like the Rashbam and like the Rif, that the restriction that we saw before in terms of selling is only in familial property. It's property that they inherit from their father. On the other hand, if it's property that comes to them in any other manner, whether that's through Yerusha from another party, some say that any type of Yerusha is problematic, or it came because they purchased property or they were gifted property, over there they have free reign to trade. And that was the nature of the question that was asked of Rova, which is that if it's not familial property, but just property that they got their hands on either because of a gift or purchase, is the individual allowed to transact in it? There, Rova says the threshold is different. In terms of transacting in property, the threshold is coming of age and having shtei tzarot. So this 14-year-old who has shtei tzarot, as long as they understand betiv masal matan, they can transact in properties even though they haven't reached that threshold of 18 and 20. 18 and 20 is a threshold for familial properties. So according to these Rishonim, you'll actually have 3 different stages. You have stages where they'll be allowed to engage in metaltalim. That's already from the age of 6 or 7. As long as they have a basic understanding of value in transacting, then they can already transact in metaltalim already from the age of 6 or 7. Once they hit the threshold of coming of age, 12, 13, and shtei se'arot, then if they understand tiv masal matan, they'll be allowed to transact in properties that are not familial properties. As well as metaltalim, they'll be able to, again, engage in a way that we won't have any suspicions as to whether it is a problematic transaction or not, we assume then that they are gdolim and the transactions are good. They want to transact in familial property. That's what we discussed at the beginning of the Gemara before with Rava and Rabuna Bar Chinina as 18 and 20 year old. That has to do with familial property, irrespective of their savviness, irrespective of how sharp they are before that age. It doesn't matter. That's a threshold that has to do with familial property. So that's the way that there are three different ways to deal with this psak of Rova vis-a-vis his psak before of the age of 18. One is to say we're speaking about metatlium here, kark over there. The Rashbam says it has to do with the difference in the individual, how sharp the individual is before the age of 18. If the person is super sharp, then we will give them the right to transact in karka. If not, 18 is the threshold. And then the Rabbeinu Gershom and others who say that the difference here is the psak here references to property outside of familial property, whereas the Rova was speaking before about familial property. And now once again here, we have the line that is in parentheses, V'had Rova la b'feirush itmar, ela michlolo itmar. Rova's position was not an explicit statement, but rather an inference. Over here, the Rashbam again takes it out, because he says, where do you see any inference to Rova's position? We're about to bring a case now, which is where many of the Rishonim see the inference of Rava's position from. And so they have the Girsa in, the Balei Tosafot and the previous Amud take issue with the Rashbam and others who take this out of the Girsa, and they believe it should be in the Girsa like it should be on the previous Amud, that Rava's position came out of an inference or implicit and was not an explicit statement of Rava. Which is this case. This individual was under the age of 20 who went ahead and transacted in his properties. Now you can see here in the brackets that they were Nichsei Da'avua Kegidol Bar Menashia. That addition has huge impact on how you would read this Gemara. According to the Rif, and those that follow the sheet of the Rif, those brackets don't exist over here. And the person was transacting Pachot Mi Ben Esrim Da'zal Zavan Nichsei was a person who was transacting in non-familial property. But then you enter into the problem as to why is the threshold over here 20, and Rava before said that it was 18. Rava should be saying that he was less than the age of 18, not the less the age of 20. So then what type of inference are you getting from this? The only inference you get from this that was they were less than 20 is the threshold according to Rava, and not less than 18. So we already raised this issue when we spoke about the Balei Tosafot before, that it seems Rova's threshold over here is 20 and not 18. So there are different ways to deal with it. One of those ways is to say that Rova before said in the name of Rav Nachman, and over here it's Rova l'shitato, his own shita, and therefore before he said 18, which was Rav Nachman's opinion, but his own opinion is 20. Or if you have the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's not a problem at all, because Rova Amar Rav Nachman said 20 years old, and also over here he says 20 years old, and therefore that would be Mi'chlola Itmar. Since this case is a case of under 20, from there we would infer that he has a position of 20, although the Balei Tosafot reject that because they say it's no longer michlola, it's no longer an implicit statement, it's an explicit statement that 20 years old is the threshold. Although the Rabbeinu Gershom does bring an alternative view, which is, midikamar pachod mi ben chavshana, shmemina mina diyoter mi ben yudchet shana haya. So that fact that he was less than 20, implicit in that is that he's above the age of 18. And the way that the Balei Tosafot explained it in the previous Amud was that even though he was above the age of 18, Rova in a second is going to think that this individual is a shoteh. After he figures out that he's not a shoteh, then he says that the transaction stands. And from that inference, we see that his threshold is 18 and not 20. And that is the Michlola Itmar, and that's what the Balei Tosafot say. They think it's the right way to read this Gemara, and the Girsa that should be in the Gemara according to the Rabbeinu Tam, which is that Rova over here demonstrates that under 20, meaning above the age of 18, is considered to be a transaction, as long as the individual can demonstrate that they're not a shoteh. And that's what is going on in the case over here. On the other hand, the Rashbam eliminates the Michlola Itmar from the Girsa here as well as before. And he says that this is a continuation, and that's what we have in the brackets, of the story before Kegidol Bar Menashia. That this is another story like Gidol Bar Menashia, and we're speaking about an individual who is very savvy. And what Rova was testing for is this individual was under the age of 20 and was also below the age of 18. They were testing to see if he was so savvy that the transaction should be locked in. Then the individual seems to prove that he is not so savvy, and then that gets reversed again. And so Rova is trying to decide whether he's savvy enough to be classified as a transaction being binding, even though he's below the normal threshold. But then it's a continuation of the story before of Gidol Bar Menashia. And from this, you have no inference as to what the threshold is, because here it mentions 20 years old, doesn't mention the 18 years old, And therefore, the only thing that we're being discussed over here, we have no idea what the age of the individual is. We're discussing the case that came from before, which is that he sold in his father's property, Kegidel Bar Menashia. So again, that would eliminate the explanation of the rift, because now we're speaking about his parents' property. And number two is Kegidel Bar Menashia, who says that we're talking about a very savvy individual. As the Rishbam says over here, that Kegidel Bar Menashia, Bechazdkat Shildeya Betiv Masal Matan. That is an individual who really understands Masal Matan. The Bali at Tosfot in the previous Amud say, V'ein Nira Klau. That explanation of the Rishbam seems untenable. V'chi B'shvil Shu Yodeh Lizbor. Just because he knows how to explain something, Zayaya Chacham Yodeh B'tiv Masal Matan. That all of a sudden makes him into a super savvy expert in transactions. Al-Kayin Arei Yitir Girsat Asfarim Yishanim. And therefore, I think the older Girsat in the Gemaras is appropriate. So over here, we went through the different possible iterations of how to read this Gemara. First of all, as to whether we leave in Had Rabba Love Feirush Itmar Ela Michlola Itmar, and then how do we deal with reconciling between this case here of Rava saying that the threshold is 20 years old and before saying that it is 18 years old. That's the discussion of Rishonim as to whether this case coming up is really the inference that teaches us that Rava has the threshold of 18, or whether this is just a reinforcement of what we said before about Gidel Ben Ashia, as well as the other issue as to why it mentions 20 as a threshold here versus 18 before. And there's different ways that the Rishonim deal with it. So now the Gemara explains, after the Kamei de Rava, he appeared before Rava, Amrulei Krovei, his relatives advise him what to do. Zil Ochol Tamre, go ahead and eat dates, Bishadabe Kishita Be Rava, and then spit out the pits in front of Rava. Ovid Hachi, he did this. Amrulei Zvine La Zvine, the transaction that he engaged in is not a transaction, because he's a Shoteh. Now again, doesn't mean that he's a Shoteh, the Gamre, just means that this individual is not savvy, he's not worldly, he doesn't understand proper etiquette, and so for that reason it means that he's not able to engage in transactions before the age threshold that is given. Kika katvule shtara. So after he gave the psak din and they're writing a shtar that the buyers now had to return the property that he had sold to them, amale lukuchot, the buyers said to him, zil emale the rova, go tell rova, migilat ester bezuza, shtar de mar bezuza. How could it be that when a sofer writes a Megillat Esther, it causes a zuz to purchase that Megillat Esther? Shtara, here a Psak Din, you're also going to charge me a zuz for the writing of the Psak Din? That's a much smaller item than the Megillat Esther. How could it be that they have the same price? Azal Amarle, so he went ahead and told Rava that. Amarlehu, he said to them, Zvine Zvine, that his transaction now is a good transaction, because now he demonstrates knowledge or understanding about differences in value. So Amrle Krovei, the relative said to him, Lekuchot Agmaru. The Lekuchot taught him how to do this. He was prodded to do this. This wasn't something that he knew of his own volition. So Amrle Hul, Rava responds to them, Misavrele Sabar. The fact that they explained to him that something that requires logic came into Misavrele Besabar, since he understood and is able to re-articulate that which they taught him, the logic, Midayodah, then he is knowledgeable enough to engage in transactions. V'had Ovid Hachi, and so then why was he spitting out those pits from the dates? Chutzpah Yitera Udavabay. He's a super chutzpah, and he has extra chutzpah. So the fact that he was spitting out pits doesn't make him into a shoteh, doesn't demonstrate his lack of capacity or savviness over here. It just shows that he has no regard for the Beit Din or for Rova. Maybe he is missing some etiquette. But as far as transactions are concerned, it's clear here that he has the ability to transact. Now for the Rashbam, that means through this understanding, he demonstrated better than average understanding of transactions, and therefore the transaction was binding, even though he was below the threshold age. The Baal Tosafot reject that and say, how could you say such a thing? All we prove him that he's not a shoteh, and that he can understand something. We didn't prove that he was a super sharp, savvy individual, and therefore all you've proven over here is that he should not be dismissed or he should not be discarded because he is a shoteh. But since he's over the threshold age, therefore his transaction will be binding. So the Rashbam, where he's below the age, he needs him to be extra savvy, and that's what he's considering him over here. Whereas for the Baal Tosafot, he's over the threshold age of 18, and therefore all he needs him to be is understanding or have some understanding that he's not a complete shoteh, and therefore his transaction will be binding. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua, u'le'edut, eduto, edut. When it comes to edut, the threshold is 13 years, like anything else with the katan and gadol, and edut is not governed by these other thresholds that we have seen. Amar Azutra, lo amran ela metaltalei. That's only true by metaltalim. Aval le'mekargei lo. That's not true by karkaot. So according to the Rashbam, and you can see this much more clearly in the Rabbeinu Gershom, where he says, Lo amru edutu edut ela metaltalei. That is, edut is only valid by metaltalim because he can transact in metaltalim. Something that he can transact in, he has a right to give testimony about. But by karke, where he doesn't have the right to transact in them, then he doesn't have a right to testify about them. That's the way the Rashbam and the Reino Gershom learn the qualification of the statement over here. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot say that it makes no sense and there should be no differentiation between karka and metaltalin when it comes to edut, to testify about something about karka or something about metaltalin. There's no difference, or there should be no distinction between metaltalin and karkot. Never the Balei Tosafot narrow this statement to situations in where you're dealing with the assessment of values or the assessment of prices. And that is that the individual will be allowed to testify with regards to metaltalin because they are of age. They're allowed to transact in metaltalin, and that shows or it means that they have a certain amount of understanding of value and metaltalin, and therefore they can testify about it. When it comes to karka, where they're only allowed to transact once they reach that threshold age, so too they can only give testimony as to the values of properties when they're engaged or they're in the world of discussing or transacting in values of properties. So the Balei Tosafot narrow it down to cases of shum, of assessments of values, whereas the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rashbam see this as a much broader statement about their ability to testify about metaltalin and not about karkaot. Amalei Rav Ashi, the Marzutra, Maishna metaltalei, tizvine zvine. What are you going to say that the difference by metaltalei, why they can testify even below these threshold ages, is because that when they transact, their transactions are binding? Elmeato, if that's the case, vatznan. But don't we have in the Mishnah in Gitin, Apuotot, Mechan, Mekach, Memkar, Memkar, Bemetaltalin, that they're allowed to transact in Metaltalin already from the age of 6 or 7? So, Achenami de Dutan Edut, and therefore you're going to say that their testimony should be viable testimony, even from this younger age, because they have the ability to transact in Metaltalin? That can't be the determining factor. So, Amalei, Hotam Binab, Amdushne Anashim, Beleka. No, that is Xeratakatuv, that you can't be an aide until you're of age. So Ein Ochanami, that yes, had it been no Gzeret HaKatuv, we would allow them to testify below that age, but the age threshold is 12 or 13 years old. So once they cross over that age, and then they are Edim, or they are permitted to be Edim, then the fact that they can transact in Metaltalim influences whether we'll accept them as Edim and for Metaltalim. Where in Karkot, where the threshold for age threshold is much higher, we won't accept them as Edim until they reach that higher threshold of age. Amar Meimar, Umatanato Matana. Even though the individual's sales are not considered to be valid sales until they reach the threshold age, if they gift something, that gift will be binding. Amalei Rav Ashi der Meimar, Hashta, does that make any sense? Umazvine de Mekabel Zuze, in a sale where he's actually getting money or remuneration for it, Amar Delo, there you say that it doesn't go through, Dilma Mozul Mizavin, because maybe he'll discount it or he'll charge too little for it and sell it off. Koshke Matanado Matile Velomide. By a gift where he's getting absolutely nothing, clearly over there he's making a mistake, or he shouldn't be trusted to give away his property as a gift. He says, Ulutameich. Meimar says, back to Rav Ashi, according to your reasoning, Zavin Shavi Chamsha B'shita, if he sells something worth 5 for 6, Hachanami Dizvine Zvine, then you're going to say that the transaction is binding, meaning that you think it all has to do with whether he's making money or losing money over here. So if he does a great transaction where he's actually making money, we're going to make the transaction binding? That's just not the case. Elokim lo rabbanon. The rabbanon had a threshold. This was what they empirically learned. Youngsters are very influenced by cash. V'amar zvine zvine. If we allow the transactions to go through, zimdin mekarkeshe le zuze. People are gonna throw money in front of them or shake money in front of them. Azul mezabin lekulun echsei davua, and then they're going to sell all the property because they're so excited about the money that they're going to get, and they're going to make inappropriate decisions. Aval gabe matana, when it comes to a gift, ilav davale hana amine, if it was not for the fact that they got some benefit from this individual, lo yavile matana, he would not have given a gift. It must be that he got some sort of kindness, some sort of help from this individual, and therefore he's giving the gift. He's not being influenced by money, which sometimes can cause the person to make bad judgments, and therefore we don't trust them when it comes to money or issues of people shaking money in front of them. In a case where it's a gift, it's something that he did of his own volition, and something that he did out of understanding. But in cases where there's money involved, we don't trust them. That's whether they make a good transaction or they make a poor transaction. So therefore, when it's in exchange for hard currency, which is very appealing to these individuals, then we won't allow the transaction to go through. On the other hand, if it's an exchange for some intangible item, over there, they will only give it, according to Rashbam, if the intangible goodness they got was so great that it precipitates them giving the gift, or because it's unusual for that to happen, therefore it's not kalul, it's not included under this takana of the chachamim. Even if the person didn't do anything for them, if they gift the property to someone, that will encourage these individuals to help out these ktanim or these youngsters because they were gifted the property. So even if it's not the way around where they're doing it because they received some goodness, even if they're doing it just to ingratiate themselves to others and to have them help them out, that's also valuable in terms of matana. And again, it's not being governed by this issue of money, or they're thinking that they're becoming wealthy by selling all the assets and don't realize that they are trading permanent assets or stored value for these more temporary assets. Or you could explain this position of the Chachamim that it's a quid pro quo, which is that people do goodnesses for other people who can return the favors. They can't return the favors, then people aren't going to do good things for them. Therefore, we should permit them to gift so that they can also be gifted by others, and that will allow them then to interact on a level playing field with the other parties that are out there. Although the Balei Tosfot do raise a small issue over here, which is that the example they give of where he's very profitable is a case where he sells something worth 5 for 6, which is a problem of ona'ah, and when you have bitul mekach. So then what type of wise type of sale is that? V'yishlamar, lav davka nakat chamsha b'shita. Either you have to say it's lav davka, that he sold 5 for 6, it's just an example of a profitable trade. Inami davka v'ati shapi or the mad v'freyer shabenu tam deinu na l'karkot. Or it follows the position of Rabbeinu Tam that there is no ona'ah by karkot, and therefore, even though it exceeds that threshold of ona'ah, it doesn't matter because we're dealing with karkot. Inami kishamar b'feirush shudani she'enu shaveh kol kach. Or it's a case when the buyer acknowledges the fact that it's not worth it, and he still wants to pay for it. Inami lo yitbatel legamrei kevin deleka yoter mishtut. Or maybe it won't be totally wiped out because there's not more than a 6. At exactly a 6, you give back the excess and you keep the sale intact. Giving all those different answers that the Balei Tosafot give in order to explain what the Chamsha V'Shisha is over here. But the bottom line is that the Takanat Chachamim has nothing to do with profits and losses, but rather just a general feeling of the Chachamim that if we allow youngsters to transact in their familial property where they inherit it and they never worked hard for it and they never had to invest in it, that they will make an underassessment of the values or they will sell them inappropriately. And therefore, we want to wait till they're of an age where they understand the value of the underlying assets and they will only sell them if they really are in need or if it really makes sense for them to sell it. Okay, we're going to stop over here, 8 lines down on the top of Kufnun Vov Amud Aleph.